As we begin this video, I'd like to remind everyone that our YouTube channel, See Answers TV, has an entire playlist dealing with the Islamic religion. Please go there to find out more about that. And we also have a website, www.MuslimHope.com, which also deals with the Islamic religion from a Christian point of view. I wish to thank Dr. Bill Warner for giving us permission to post his videos on our YouTube channel, See Answers TV. I would urge viewers to check out his website, www.politicalislam.com, and many of the other videos he has produced concerning the threat of Islam to Western civilization on YouTube. Dr. Warner makes complicated subjects surprisingly easy to understand, as you will see in this video presentation. The 1,400-year-old history of the spread of Islam is not widely known. Historically, few people know that the Muslims were involved in 548 offensive battles against non-Muslim cultures. The doctrine of Islam is more concerned with unbelievers than believers. 64% of the Quran is devoted to how to treat a kafir. The life of Muhammad, the sirah of Muhammad, is 81% against kafirs. That's unbelievers. The hadiths of Islam, the authoritative hadith, is 37% against kafirs. The bulk of Islamic doctrine is political, not religious. Medinian Quran, which is the last part of the Quran, which is written at the latter part of Muhammad's life. Remember, the 13 years when Muhammad first started were spent in Mecca, where he preached for 13 years and only got about 150 followers. But after he was run out of town and he spent the last 9 years of his life in Medina, well, he changed his doctrine. Then he started teaching jihad, which is military conquest of the unbelievers in war. And that's where his religion or political ideology really took form and shape. Instead of only getting 150 followers in 13 years, he got tens of thousands of followers because as they captured caravans, attacked villages and cities, captured the women, made them sex slaves, took all the money. Well, he started getting more and more followers because he only asked for 10% of the take. He gave the other 90% of the sex slaves and money to his followers. So with everybody getting all these spoils, well, he suddenly got all these new followers that he never had when he first started out the 13 years there in Mecca. Well, anyway, that's why the bulk of Islamic doctrine is political, not religious. So when you get to the part of Quran that was written later, not the first part, which is written early, which doesn't mention anything about jihad in the Quran, the part where he was in Medina, which is part of the Quran, that's where he comes up with jihad against unbelievers. And 24% of that part of the Quran is calling for jihad against the kafirs, the unbeliever. The life or biography of Muhammad is 67% jihad against unbelievers, and the hadith, 21% jihad against the unbelievers. For more information about all this, and it's easy to see why Islam did not really have success until Muhammad incorporated the doctrine of jihad, military conquest, and violence against unbelievers, and taking their possessions, making them dhimmis, which are like a third-class slave under the Islamic Sharia law. For documentation concerning the history of Islam, please go to Dr. Bill Warner's website, www.politicalislam.com.
So let's just begin. Today there was an attack on the Louvre where a fellow named Abdullah, the last name not given, was risking his life to try to sneak paint bombs into the Louvre, which is quite certainly one of the most important repositories of all of the artistic output of classical civilization for some centuries. Why do you think a person would, why would a Muslim risk his life to try to get paint bombs into an art gallery?
Well, let's go back a bit so that we can understand it. And by the way, I think that before we get through talking about the art at the very end, we need to talk about the artists in our civilization who seem to think that this is nothing to worry about. That is, I find that my artist friends come closer to supporting Islam than condemning Islam. But with that sidebar created, let's go back and remember how the Taliban brought in bombs to destroy the Bamiyan Buddhas?
Oh, yes, the 100-foot-tall Buddha statues.
Yes. And do we remember how when one of the government overthrows in Egypt, one of the things the crowds did was attack the museums?
In fact, yes, and they specifically went in and took out art and manuscripts and burned them and destroyed as much stuff from the Egyptian archaeology and art museums that they could.
And can we go to the Sphinx, which is missing its nose?
Indeed.
That was also done by Islam. Now let's go back to when Baghdad fell. What happened in the museums in Baghdad? They were destroyed as well. So what I'm trying to do here is to say this is not some freak event. This is part of a pattern. But the pattern has its origins 1,400 years ago. When Muhammad conquered Mecca, one of the things he did was, it was said that at the Kaaba there were religious art of 360 religions. He personally, with his own hands, destroyed some of the art and issued commands to his lieutenants to destroy the rest of it. Then soon after that, he sent Khalid, the sword of Allah, to destroy a site of worship for one of the, I forget the name of the god that was worshipped there. But anyway, so he destroyed that art site, which was art devoted to the worship of a particular god. So what I'm trying to say here is we should not be surprised. These paint bombs are part of civilizational war, a civilizational war started by Muhammad 1,400 years ago.
What is there a scriptural basis for the intense hatred and attempt at destruction of of art?
Of course. You know, one of the things, some people think that Islam is not easily understood, but I find it to be hyper-rational. And the art was destroyed because, first off, there Muhammad revealed that Allah doesn't like art. One of the things was, I remember one time the Archangel Gabriel didn't visit him for a while, and it turned out there was a picture of an animal in the house. And so Gabriel said, angels will not enter a house with a dog or art in it. Well, this is the Archangel Gabriel, so that's a pretty high command. So we find that art is not encouraged. Let me ask you this. What was the last great Muslim symphony you went to?
I don't think there ever was one.
You didn't go to one because there isn't one, because music and art are highly discouraged. So, and I want to tie this back now to the irony of the fact that in the West, most artists are left of center and look upon Islam as something wonderful, but it is the purpose of Islam to destroy all art because it is jahiliya. It is the art of ignorance. It comes before the art of Islam. So, and the art of Islam, I'm not sure what that is, I guess calligraphy. So jahiliya, the day of ignorance, is what all this art is from, and it is offensive to Allah, which is really a peculiar concept to me, that God would be offended by artistic expression.
Now, I remember reading that it was incumbent upon Muslims to destroy evidence of the existence of anything from before the time of Islam. So even to the extent where the Saudis have ordered that any archaeological finds from before the time of Mohammed were not to be exhibited or dug up or fully exposed, and even maybe destroyed.
By the way, there's something very intriguing here. There's a wonderful scholar by the name of Dan Gibson, who has done a lot of work on the early, was Mecca the city of the mosque in the Quran? And one of the things he did was he talked with some of the man speaks Arabic, and he's lived for years in the Middle East. And he got to speak to some of the contractors who were doing the work of expansion of the Kaaba in Mecca. He said, by the way, he said, I have a question for you. What are the relics you're digging up as you find things? And they said, we're not finding anything. What this implies is that Mecca is a relatively recent city and didn't have any archaeological digs down under it anyway. But Islam does not favor archaeology because what is the story I just told you? Archaeology does not prove the existence of Mecca at the time of the Quran. So archaeology does not have a favorable place inside of Islam at all. Because even if there were things there, they would be before the age of Allah, or the time of Allah, the time of Islam.
So I know that I have also seen videos of Palestinian, quote, archaeologists, unquote, who actually run pile drivers, destroying any evidence of Jewish existence before that in the area of Gaza from before the time when it became an Islamic area. Would that be consistent with this?
I've not heard the story, but it would be totally consistent that if you do find anything before the time of Allah, or I say the time of Muhammad, really, then it should be destroyed because it is offensive to Allah. It is offensive to Islam. This is all part of the concept of civilizational war. I maintain that the civilizational war concept of Islam is the most profound concept of war in the existence of human beings. Nobody today dies for Caesar, Alexander the Great, Napoleon. But someone today will die because of Muhammad. It is an ingenious thing which moves war from just kinetic warfare to ideological warfare, civilizational warfare, cultural warfare. I mean, Islam is the most ferocious enemy a civilization has ever seen because its purpose is to replace our civilization completely. Our music, our art, our sculpture, everything is to go down, our architecture is to all be yielded to the art of Islam and civilization of Islam. It's total war, highly ingenious and very practical.
So this might be a good time to revisit your sidebar. And what do you have to say to the artists that seem to take a fashionable position, against what's obviously their own interest?
This is what causes my heart to weep. The facts don't seem to matter. All that matters is the feelings. But I say this to my art friends. Islam is against everything that you do and say. They will use you, your vote for the current Islamization, but once Islam takes over, you'll meet a new Islam and your art won't prosper, whether it's music. Now, maybe the poets will prosper some because there is some poetry in Islam, but in the rest of the art, nah, no way. So this is a serious look. They attack our art, they attack our architecture, they attack our education, they attack our history, they attack everything. It is a civilizational war, and our artists are just part of it. And our artists should be supporting us instead of supporting the art destruction of Islam.
How many times have you heard this, that the moderate Muslim is the key to reforming Islam? The little talk I'm getting ready to give you has its origins in an article written by Dr. Ahmed Khatter, a Saudi. And his title of his article was "The Truth About the Moderate Muslim as Seen by the West and Its Muslim Followers." Now, I'm going to give you a whole different series and comparisons of the difference between moderate Muslim and radical Muslim. The radical Muslim wants the caliphate. The moderate Muslim wants democracy. The radical Muslim wants Sharia. The moderate Muslim rejects Sharia. The radical Muslim accepts jihad, and the moderate Muslim rejects jihad. The radical Muslim punishes apostates, and the moderates are fine with apostasy. The radicals are violent against the critics of Muhammad, and the moderates are for freedom of speech. The radical Muslim rejects democracy, the moderate Muslim accepts democracy. The radical Muslim sees the Christian and the Jew as a dhimmi, the moderate rejects this. The radical Muslim rejects any kafir as being a boss, the moderate Muslim will accept a kafir as the boss. Radical Muslims reject equal rights for women. Moderate Muslims accept them. Now, here's the thing. The radicals want pure Islam. The moderates reject pure Islam, the pure Hadith, and the pure Sharia. So, what do we have here? We have the fact that what is called a moderate is someone who does not accept the doctrine of Islam in its entirety. Everything about moderation is rejection of the Islamic doctrine. Everything that is said about radicals accepts the doctrine, because every single one of these points that a radical Muslim accepts are found in the doctrine of Islam. So how can the moderate Muslim reform that which he does not practice?
The radical Muslim in any discussion with a moderate Muslim always has the edge because he can quote Quran, quote Sirah, quote Hadith, quote Sharia. So the moderate Muslim is not really moderate about his Islam. What we call a moderate Muslim is someone who rejects Islam and therefore is completely incapable of reforming anything that he rejects. Think about what I've told you, because it is not true that the moderate Muslim is the solution to radical Islam. Thank you.
Check out our websites, BibleQuery.org. This site answers 7,700 Bible questions. HistoryCart.com. This site reveals early church history and doctrine, proving Roman Catholicism is not historically or doctrinally viable. MuslimHope.com. This site is a classic refutation of Islam, a counterfeit religion created by Muhammad. Free newsletters are also available.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels with just a quick message to our viewers to check out our main YouTube channel, See Answers TV, which stands for Christian Answers Television, where we have all of our over 610 videos posted. By going there, you can see all of our videos organized by playlist, categorized by subjects. Once you scroll down past our Bible prophecy trailer at the top of the channel page, the playlist begin. You'll see our recent uploads playlist, followed by our most popular videos playlist, followed by our playlist on Jehovah's Witnesses, then Islam, the Muslim religion, then Roman Catholicism, Darwin's metaphysical evolution religion, Seventh-day Adventism, dealing with anti-Trinitarians and early church history. Our multiple playlists, which includes God-hating atheists, phony TV preachers and King James onlyists, dealing with UFOs, ghosts, spiritual warfare. Our radio shows with national Christian authors and our music biz, the Black Muslims, Louis Farrakhan, and the Nation of Islam, Mormonism, Hell, Lake of Fire, Unpopular Bible Doctrines, Antichrist, Cults, New Age, and World Religions. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Jonathan Edwards, and Spanish videos, end times, supernatural prophecies, and tough Bible questions, and our playlist dealing with predestination, Arminianism, and Calvinism. Our YouTube channel is built to help people learn the Bible and defend their Christian faith against false prophets that come against it from every side, Jude verses 3 and 4. At the time of this recording, our channel has already been blessed with over 6 million viewings and over 10,000 subscribers.